Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for The Viking Age. Before we get started today, make sure to follow The Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is at The Viking Age, and you can follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/TheVikingAge. All right, on today's show, we've got Elliot Knopp. He writes for us here at The Viking Age, and I'm happy to have him here and pick his brain about the Vikings. So just welcome to the show, Elliot.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, pleasure is mine. All right. So first things first, the biggest news of the week relating to the Vikings was that Danielle Hunter and the Vikings have agreed to a reworked deal, and Hunter is now back with the team during their mini camp this week. He's not participating, but he is there. We've seen video footage of him standing on the sidelines in his practice jersey or whatever. So, Hunter, I'm not sure you're aware, but Hunter didn't even get a raise this year. The Vikings basically just took about $5 million out of his current base salary and gave it to him all right now in the form of a signing bonus. Now, Hunter has the opportunity to earn around $20 million in 2022, but Minnesota will also have the opportunity to part ways with him before an $18 million roster bonus becomes official on the fifth day of the league year in 2022. All right, so it really couldn't have worked out any better for the Vikings, but my question to you, Elliot, is are you surprised that Hunter maybe agreed to this sort of deal instead of maybe holding out longer for something that would have increased his pay both this year and next year?
Not really, just because the way you look at it, when you're coming off of something as serious as like the neck injury that he had that took him out for most of the year, you don't really have a whole lot of leverage when you're at the bargaining table, especially if you're like, hey, I'm going to be holding out, because no one knows what you look like after the surgery. No one knows how you can still compete at that level that you were once at, right? So I think this for him was a smart move. It obviously did a lot for Vikings fans, as you could kind of feel the collective breath just, you know, release from everybody's bodies. But I think this was a smart move on his part.
Yeah, I think so. I think I wrote like maybe a day before he did all this stuff happen. Like if Danielle Hunter wants, you know, to get what he wants or close to what he wants, he should come to minicamp because, like you said, the Vikings haven't seen him, you know, since he's, you know, said he's fully recovered. They would probably like to look at him, his neck or whatever, and see how he is before they agree to give him more money, because that just, they're a $1 billion business. They're not gonna, that's not a smart investment for them to invest in someone who might not be able to be the same player that he was before his neck injury. So I think it was a smart decision, yes, on his part. And then the Vikings once again figured out a way to, you know, possibly be able to get out of his deal next year if things don't go well. So as much as it seemed like Hunter was going to just hold out until he got like $25 million a year or whatever, yeah, I think he was just like, you know what, I probably just want to play football, earn the money I can get right now, and then we'll take it from there. But with Hunter back, do you think the Vikings should still attempt to sign maybe a veteran free agent defensive end before the start of the season?
That's kind of what I was leaning towards when I first saw the Sheldon Richardson signing that we might talk about later. That was my first initial reaction. I was like, hey, we have a lot of defensive tackles, but we still need an edge rusher on the other side because none of the other guys have really demonstrated an ability to be in that position and help lead the pass rush, right? So the Danielle Hunter signing, while it does answer a lot of questions and, you know, make a little bit easier heading into the season, that side of the line, if it's not always Sheldon Richardson, is going to be a little bit of a concern for sure.
Yeah, I think, I don't know what their plans are for Richardson, because I've seen things thrown out. Maybe they do a hybrid 3-4 with Barr and Hunter on the outside, and they'll have the three defensive tackles on the inside, which I think would be just interesting at all, just to see how that goes. I think it would be scary for opposing offensive lines, but I don't know how long that could work for. And just with the Richardson signing, it seems like he's okay with being in a backup role. He's getting paid a pretty good amount to be a backup. But I don't know. I don't know if they want to sign an edge rusher at this point. I've talked to some people and they think that at this point, if you're going to sign an edge rusher, they better be coming in to start. Because why are you going to bring someone to take reps away from some of your younger guys like TJ Wonnum or even Steven Weatherly or whatever? Like, why are you going to bring someone in like that, maybe even for a year, and then kind of stunt their development when you could just give them reps and maybe work them up into something like Danielle Hunter became or Everson Griffin? So I'm leaning towards not. I wouldn't be surprised if they do, the way that they've just been bringing in people on cheap deals. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that, but I don't really think I'd rather see them go after a third receiver.
Well, they did just draft Patrick Jones the second, right?
They did too. Yeah, you're right.
That would be a really nice thing to see him emerge and take that position and then just, you know, leave no doubt for everyone.
And the other kid from Forest State, Janarius Robinson.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
They got him too. So, yeah, I think they'll probably focus on the younger guys instead of bringing a veteran in. But you did mention the other big news this week, which is the return of Sheldon Richardson. This kind of came out of nowhere on Monday. And then on Tuesday, the Vikings officially announced that he is back. Richardson's deal with the Vikings is reportedly just 1 year, but it could pay him up to $4.35 million with incentives. So, Elliot, just what were some of your thoughts when this news came out? Because I think we're all like reacting to being super happy that Danielle Hunter's back, and then we see this pop up. I think it was Jack Day of KFan and the Vikings Wire who first reported it. So what were some of your thoughts when you saw this happening?
Yeah, of course. My initial reaction was, yeah, another defensive lineman. And as you mentioned, it did seemingly come out of nowhere, because I was like, well, that would be cool. We do have two really highly touted defensive linemen already. And it's just, I was like, does it really make sense to sign him as like a third kind of guy there? And, you know, just seeing with the way that they have approached it now, and they're like, oh yeah, well, we could be doing this and we could be doing that. I'm like, you know, it is nice to have him back, and especially in a rotation where, you know, if someone does go down, which we're obviously hoping doesn't happen, then it's a little less concerning for sure, because we still have two really big beefy guys up there.
Yeah, I don't think they have a ton of depth behind Dalvin Tomlinson and Michael Pierce. And at the same time, those two guys are not, I know they're in probably peak shape as their football play, they're professional athletes and they have to be, but at the same time, they're bigger dudes, so they're going to need some breathers a little more than maybe some other guys. So Richardson is a great person to have to throw in there, switch things up a little bit, and then even he can fill in when, if one of those guys is hurt, start a couple games, you know, and then you don't really miss a beat with him in there. So I really like it. I'm just surprised that he came back. I thought he would try and go start somewhere, but obviously he wasn't getting any probably offers anywhere to do that, or if he was, it wasn't going to be worth him, you know, worth the amount of money that he was being offered. So I'm happy to have him back on the Vikings for sure. But are you fine with the Vikings maybe spending a pretty good chunk of change on Richardson, even though he's probably not going to start very much next season, or should they have just used that money maybe somewhere else?
I think they still have a little bit of money left, right? Yeah, so it's like, you know what? My biggest like look at the cap space is, it's like, it's not there to say, oh, well, we still have this much cap space. It's there to be spent, right? Yeah. So if you're going to spend it on someone like Richardson, who, even though he may not be starting, can still help out in a rotational role or whatever they have planned for him, I think it is money well spent, especially when, like you said, there isn't that much depth at the position after the first starting two, right? So. Yeah. Yeah, I'm more than happy with the signing. I still think that, yeah, wide receiver three could be addressed, but, you know, if they want to give young guys a shot, then that's the way they want to do it.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more depth on the offensive line. Can never really have enough of that especially with the Vikings whenever they're concerned. But speaking of spending money, the Vikings ended up spending a bunch in free agency this year. I think before free agency started, we're like, oh man, the Vikings aren't going to have a lot of money. Maybe they'll get like a couple decent guys. They ended up getting Dalvin Tomlinson, Patrick Peterson, Xavier Woods, Mackenzie Alexander, Bashaud Breeland, and now Sheldon Richardson. So they did pretty well. Which new addition from free agency are you most excited about? And then which one do you think will make the biggest impact next season?
I think my answer is going to be the same guy both of them. And it's Patrick Peterson. I know he's slowed down at his age that he's at right now. And he's coming over here, but he's going to be a big leader for this past defense here. And obviously it was really an experience last year. I think you had mentioned in one of the articles before that the defensive back core had like 9 collective starts on defense. And I was like, man, so
now it's like
having someone like Peterson coming in to take over and, you know, show them the ropes a little bit more and teach them some techniques. That'll be really good and help them out quite a bit. And, it's nice to have a leader like that in the secondary once again to go, you know, help out Harrison Smith.
And he's motivated. He's you know, people, he hears the whispers of people saying that, you know, he's past being good in the league and, you know, the Cardinals didn't need him or whatever. So he's out to prove people wrong. And I'm sure Mike Zimmer loves to have someone like that on his defense, especially a cornerback that he can just like put out there and put in a great position who can help the young guys, put them in the right spots. So I like Patrick Peterson. I'm trying to think. I feel like Xavier Woods is going to come out of maybe under the radar. I don't think a lot of people are talking about him. I did hear Peterson the other day say that he's one of the guys that kind of impressed him during their OTA. So I found that kind of significant. Let's keep an eye on Xavier Woods, see how he does. Because, you know, next to Harrison Smith, that always seems to make everyone look a little better than maybe they are. Andrew Sandejo. We'll see how that goes. But after this week's news involving Hunter and Richardson, what are your realistic expectations for the Vikings next season?
With the way they're approaching it and with what's going on in Green Bay over there with old Raj over there.
Wait, what's happening? I haven't heard anything about it.
Oh, you know, he's just doesn't really want to show up. He's tired of it. He'd rather
play ball. That's too bad.
You know, it happens sometimes. But I think with the way that things are shaking out over there and the way that they've attacked the defense, and this is one of the most impressive hauls that they've had in the offseason, and this defense is one of the most impressive in recent memory on paper so far. We'll see when the season starts. So I think it isn't too much to say that a deep playoff run should be expected. Like, they should be ready to fire away. I mean, every time you go into the NFL season, you want to compete, you want to win. That's the goal, right? And with the roster in the shape that it's in and, you know, a lot of uncertainty with one of the best teams in the division here, I think they should be ready to start shooting as far as they can.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because obviously there's the 17-game season now. So you have that extra game. And then you have the 7 teams in the playoffs now. I don't know if we're officially used to that yet or not. And then, you know, in the NFC, there's what? The Bucks and maybe the Packers if Rodgers is back, like that, because Breeze is gone from the Saints. No one in the NFC East is really going to be that threatening. Maybe the Washington football team, but who's their quarterback? No one's worried about the Lions. Yeah, no one's worried about the Lions. It could be Taylor Heineke. I heard that the other day, that he's looking pretty good in there. Former Vikings quarterback who put his foot through glass a long time ago.
He did well in that playoff game.
He did.
Really impressive.
He did. You got them, and then you got what? No one's worried about. I don't think anyone's worried about the Falcons.
You're going to have to worry about the 49ers if Jimmy G's back up to shape and that defense is doing what it is. I mean, the secondary's obviously lost Sherman, but they still have quite the pass rush that, you know, can cause problems for defenses.
Always the Seahawks. We always worry about them. They always seem to be in the mix. I'm curious about the Rams because of Matthew Stafford out there. And then I think they lost their defensive coordinator. So that'll be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. I just think the Vikings, it's very wide open, which makes me think that the Vikings are in a good position. The Vikings are not being really picked by anyone to do much of anything next season, which seems to be whenever they do well. If you go back to like 98 and in 2017 or whatever, like no one was picking the Vikings and those guys, but they came out of nowhere. And whenever they seem to have expectations where people are like, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl, then they just fall flat on their face. So they seem to do better when they're under the radar. Mike Zimmer seems to do better when he's, you know, feels like he's got something to prove or is back against the wall. But yeah, I think they can contend in the NFC. I think they can win at least one playoff game, hopefully get to, you know, an NFC championship game. But I really feel like in the NFL these days, with the one team getting the bye, I feel like that is just a huge advantage to have in the playoffs. So I feel like unless they're able to get that one seed, it's going to be hard to get to the Super Bowl, just for any team, just because you get that extra week of rest, you get to play at home. It seems difficult. Although, did the Bucks beat the Packers on the road last year? Who was the number one seed? I feel like the Packers.
The Packers were the number one seed. Yeah, and they lost. Because the Buccaneers didn't have a great regular season. They did enough to get in, of course, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, but the Chiefs, I feel like they were the one seed, so they had the bye, and that seemed to help them out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel excited about the Vikings. I don't think this is, you know, maybe I can't speak for you, but this isn't like a pious thing, like, because I'll be the first one to be like, no, they're not going to be good. But they've added a lot on defense. The offense still, no one's talking about the offense because they've done so much on defense. They still have Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson. Irv Smith Jr. is supposed to be doing things. You know, they added to the offensive line. Adam Thielen, Kirk Cousins, like, this team's got a lot of weapons. And then you think about things that mess it up, like kickers.
You know, that's another thing this year, too. Oh, my goodness.
But speaking of that, so the excitement level for the potential of the Vikings, you know, it seems to be very high at this point from a lot of people. But aside from injuries, you know, what is something that you think could prevent the Vikings from succeeding next season?
I don't have many worries about Clint Kubiak, but just the fact that we're gonna keep switching offensive coordinators, what feels like it might be almost every season, right? So I think it's the fifth guy
in 6 years or 6 and 7, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I know Kirk Cousins has been switching coordinators pretty much since he entered the league. So I'm not a big concern about it, but it could play a factor, of course. The kicking game is something I do worry about, though, because Greg Joseph going in with him, I was like, we're praying on you, buddy. We're hoping for the best here.
They still have I feel like they brought in an undrafted rookie and he's still on the roster. I know they just released the rookie punter they just brought in, but they still have the kicker on the roster. So that'll be interesting to see if maybe the rookie can come out. And then I'm like, do we really want a rookie kicker again after what happened with Daniel Carlson a couple years ago and Zimmer, you know, just like breathing fire, you know, staring like, and it was Sol and everything after he missed those kicks in Green Bay. Do we really want to have another rookie? Always the kicking game worries me. I think we always have to worry about the offensive line, no matter how much we think they've improved with Darisaw and Wyatt Davis. It's got to be a concern because it's been an Achilles heel of Rick Spielman since he's been with the Vikings. It seems like he's never been able to put together an offensive line that's able to, one, like, stay together or just have a solid season. I think 2017 was probably the best season they had, and that probably had a lot to do with Case Keenum being able to get away from a lot of people. There's a lot to be excited about the Vikings, so I think the glass is half full with more people than it is, you know, maybe half empty. But if you're a Vikings fan, I can understand the other side as well, because it's just we're used to that. The last thing I want to go over with you is a super fun topic, and that is the fact that we found out on Tuesday that neither Adam Thielen, Harrison Smith, or Sheldon Richardson, and today we found out, well, we didn't find out, he didn't admit it, but it seems like probably the case, that neither of them have had any shots of any of the COVID vaccines that are available. This doesn't mean that they won't get vaccinated. And, you know, even if they don't, they're adults, that's their choice. But at the same time, the rules for them are much different than, you know, any other Vikings players who have already received the vaccine. So the NFL released an updated version of the rules today, but here's some of the things where, like, that's going to impact them. So unvaccinated players still have to be tested daily, even during the team's bye week. So they have to come back. They can't like go on vacation or anything. They have to come back to facilities every day to get tested. They still have to wear a mask at the team's facilities. If they're exposed to the virus, they have to quarantine. If you're exposed and you're vaccinated, you don't have to quarantine. They will still have travel restrictions. I read today that they basically have to go to their like their hotel room. They can't leave. Like you can't have friends or family like come and visit you. So there's a lot of restrictions on these players and even coaches that don't get vaccinated. So there is sort of an incentive, but at the same time, again, they are adults. They can make these choices themselves. All the Vikings can do is give these guys as much information about everything as possible, and then they can do what they do, and they'll figure things out from there. But I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, Elliot, but do you think that the Vikings, you know, if they head into the season with some notable names still, like Thielen and Harrison Smith still unvaccinated, could it have a significant impact on their chance for success next season, especially since they would have to quarantine just by being exposed to the virus?
I think it could, yeah, just because it's like with all the rules that you had mentioned there, it just sounds like so much more of a headache mm-hmm. than, you know, getting jabbed, get the vaccine in like millions of other people are doing. And I feel like it could play a part in it. At the same time, as you did mention, it is their decision, right? No one can tell you what to do, especially as a full grown adult. You make the decisions that you feel are best for you. It is something to be concerned about, especially if they were to, let's say, miss a game because they do have COVID. Mm-hmm. And that's going to start, you know, raising eyebrows and having people frustrated for sure.
I'm sure none of the people that are like, it's their choice that are saying that now would complain if they missed a game. I'm sure none of those people would say have anything to say about mm-hmm. that later. No, I'm kidding. Because, you know, that's just how things go. You're in Canada, right? How are things? I'm not following the news in Canada. Sorry.
No worries.
how is like the vaccine stuff going on up there? Are they rolling it out kind of like the U.S. is, where like you can just make an appointment whenever and go and get it? Is it like that now, or is it more kind of as need basis, or what's going on up there?
So it's kind of interesting because I think they lead most countries or all the countries, something like that, in like the first dose vaccines, like percentage per capita or something like that. Yeah, it's something like that in the first dose. And they've pretty much established like there are walk-in clinics where you can just walk in, get your jab, move on with your day. It's crazy. Obviously you mentioned it. You don't follow the Canadian news cycle here, but in Alberta, to convince the population to get vaccinated, they have this like $1 million lottery thing.
Oh, they did that in California. I live in California. They did that
for like, so they established that over there as well. There's like $3-1 million prizes to get everyone, with, I think they wanted 70% of their first dose. That way, then they would just drop all the restrictions and move on with their life. Yeah.
I mean, people complain about maybe the people doing that stuff, giving people incentive, but they do that for like blood drives and stuff all the time, and no one has a problem. They're like, you can get a free coupon for a cheeseburger or whatever if you donate blood or whatever. Mm-hmm. I see those all the time. But yeah, I'm just curious to see how things are going on up there, because I think, you know, down here it's pretty readily available. You just have to set up an appointment. Obviously, it could cost. No, actually, I don't think it costs any money. I was thinking of healthcare in Canada and the United States. That's a whole nother podcast. We don't need to get into that.
And everything's free up here.
Yes. Yes, I know. My dad has dual citizenship, so I'm very familiar with all the Canadian policies and niceness up there. Toronto, great city, by the way. I've been there. It's good stuff. Nice. Not sure if you're a fan or anything, but I like it there.
Rivalries.
it's part of our life today. The guys can get the vaccine. They cannot do it. I feel like Mike Zimmer's trying to do the best he can to get his guys, because he knows that the more, you know, guys that have it, then he's not going to have to worry about them randomly missing a game because, you know, Kirk Cousins has to sit out because of COVID. You know, who's starting at quarterback? Is it Kellen Mond? Is it Jake Browning? Is it Nate Stanley? And then, you know, what if that game is like at the end of the season, when you're in a playoff hunt and one game matters? And then, you know, these are the things that coaches have to work, especially Mike Zimmer. He's going into a year where if they don't make the playoffs, he might be gone. So he has a lot of incentive to get these guys to get vaccinated. But like we keep saying, at the same time, these guys are adults. They make these choices. And just like, you know, with anything else, if you make a choice, there could be consequences. If you don't wear a seatbelt, you're an adult. You have that choice. You don't have to wear a seatbelt if you want. It's the law. But you have that option. And if you get in a car crash, that's the consequence. I'm not trying to compare COVID and car crashes people before they jump on my back. But I'm just trying to think of something similar. But I think that's enough. We can talk about the vaccine. I don't want to make this the vaccine podcast and people, you know, message me on Twitter like, oh, God, people are already mad at me today for posting random stuff about, you know, fun stuff. Yeah. But that's going to do it for us, Elliot, today. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, so my name is Elliot Knopp on there. It's just ELLIOTTKNOPP. I just like to keep it simple, you know, keep my name, that way you can find me really easily, so.
I'm sorry, you pronounce your name Knopp?
It's German, yeah, it's fine. Everyone gets it wrong, right? So
I'm sorry,
So
I should have asked you beforehand because I just assumed it was Knopp because that's how I've seen. I feel like I've seen it before, but Elliot Knopp, there we go. And also check out, he writes for us here at the Viking Age, so make sure to go check out some of his stuff up on the site. Does great work. And then make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. And subscribe to the podcast on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. But until next time, we will talk to you later.